But then Men in Black slowly got out of control on just this planet. But they're actually on several thousand planets. Men in Black are working for the Women in Black back on their planet.
You're trying to tell me that the women eventually, in time,
yes,
become dominant?
On Earth, yes, again. But
what is the general job description of a man or woman in black, and what differences in job descriptions would there be?
All you have to do to be a woman in black, first of all, you can't be from Earth.
Right.
They can only be of the hierarchy back home.
All right.
The men in black can be almost anyone, except they have to be very loyal, and that's hard. Anybody can lie, see. But that's not always. There's new things that have been developed in the last 400 years. One of them is the reverse speech thing. What's his name?
David,
John Oates. Yeah,
David John Oates, that's right.
He's not the Hall and Oates guy, is he?
No. What is the job of a man in black? Hear they are here to retrieve alien artifacts, any evidence.
Okay, first of all, the men in black, why are they here? The main thing is that thing that crashed in Roswell in 1947.
Yes.
It was meant to be. It was dropped on purpose.
Dropped?
First of all, back where it came from, it was stripped of all the high technology. It was filled with lesser advanced technology. It was brought to Earth, dropped here on purpose.
Wow.
Now, when this happened, it was made to look like an accident. So all the technology that was supposed to be developed but could not be would be acquired over time.
Distributed, no doubt, by Colonel Corso and others.
Yes, but the men in black were here to make sure that the United States was the only country that got the technology. That's why the men in black are here, to keep the Roswell technology from getting into other countries' hands.
So the men in black
originally favor
the United States.
There's a reason for that.
Which is? Is it because we're so good?
No, not really. Unfortunately, they would have to support you no matter what you did. And that is because the men in black are operating for the hierarchy. And the hierarchy are telling them to help to recreate the Roman Empire in the modern era on Earth. And it's been chosen that America shall be that equivalent.
Well, I'll be doggone. We seem well on the way.
Oh, yes, and not only that, Richard Hoagland should be given some kind of medal of some kind.
You mean beyond the Engstrom?
Yes, because he has discovered the secret of everything. The secret is the 19.5. History is repeating itself every 19.5 centuries.
Well, how could the men in black allow Richard...
Uh-huh.
To get this information out. I mean, wouldn't they normally walk in and grab him by his whiskers
You bet they would, but there is something that has happened that changes everything.
And that is?
The hierarchy has been taken over by a new leader. And she's decided that the information shall now be told to the world.
And so, in other words, the mission of the men in black has actually been changed by her.
Yes, and I can tell you all about it if we had some more time. I can answer anything you need to know about the future or anything else. I can answer it.
I can't possibly reject an offer like that.
Nothing turned down.
All right, will the Men in Black budget allow you to hold on through the news?
Money is no object.
Money is no object.
Hasn't been for a very long time.
All these taxpayers out here know that. All right, then, hold on. We'll be back with a man in black. I'm Art Bell. This is CBC.
The Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
Yo, Jimmy.
Yeah?
Where's your lunch?
I'm on a diet.
Oh, I got diverted there for about an hour, but we are going to do an Area 51 line. Now, listen to me very closely, because I know a lot of you don't listen. So listen to me. Attention, everybody. What is normally my first-time caller line is now going to be an Area 51 employee singing line. You know that place that doesn't exist? I was telling somebody who happens to be in the studio with me right now, earlier tonight, that there is a VFW here in Pahrump, Nevada. And if you go up to that VFW about 4:30 in the morning, there will be a number of buses, unless, because I've talked about it, they've now changed it. I doubt it. I bet they're still there. Every morning about 4:30, 5 o'clock or so, and they're sitting there waiting for all these employees to go to Area 51. The funny thing is, right on the side of the buses, it says Area 51. It actually says Area 51. And one of these days, I'm going to go up there with a camera, and I'm going to take some pictures of those buses for you, and I'll put it up on the net. So anyway, we're going to be looking for people who either retired from Area 51 and can now talk, or people who presently work at Area 51 and wish to tell us what's going on up there, because we all have deep suspicions about what's happening up there. So I'm just going to sort of open a line and see what happens. Now, we may not get any calls. I have no way of knowing. You know, when I open these lines, I have no way of knowing. It is, however, ringing. Now, whether it's ringing from somebody who actually was at Area 51, or it's ringing because somebody isn't listening to me right now saying, don't call that line, I have no way of knowing. But we will find out shortly. Okay. Dare I venture forth to my Area 51 line? Sure I do. Let's see what we get. On my Area 51 line, you are on the air. Good evening.
Hello, Mr. Bell.
Hello there.
It's so good to hear you.
It's good to hear you, too. Are you going to tell us from where you are calling, or would you rather keep that secret?
I cannot tell you.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
But then, I can tell you who you can call me, and it is actually my first name.
What is your first name?
Yes, you can call me Steve.
Steve. Yeah. Figures.
Oh, by the way, I was not the guy who sent all the faxes about the suitcase bombs. So.
Okay.
I was not that guy.
Not that Steve.
No.
All right. All right. Did you work or do you work at Area 51?
I did, but more so to the point, I actually lived there for a time.
You lived there?
Yes.
Well, I guess I guess that makes sense in a way, that a lot of people who live there either commute from Las Vegas or my little town of Pahrump, or they actually reside there, which I bet they love, because then you can't go talk to people.
Well, actually, when you say Area 51, do you mean only Groom Lake?
Oh, no.
Or Pampoose?
Oh, no. I mean S4. I mean any of the...
Yeah.
Any of the interesting areas up there?
S4.
You worked at S4?
No, that's the area where I was living.
Oh, my. Now, S4 is where it is said they had the goodies.
Oh, yes. Yes, I haven't been ordered to discuss that.
I beg your pardon?
I've been ordered to discuss S4 tonight.
You've been ordered to discuss it?
Yes, they were aware of your show, and it was... Well, we knew it wasn't going to be on last night, so I just went to bed.
Oh, my. Well, you know, Bob Lazar, who lives in Las Vegas...
Very interesting man.
Yes, indeed. I've interviewed Bob Lazar.
Yes.
And he claims that there have been any number of saucers, actual saucers, recovered saucers, back-engineered, that he was part of that,
yes.
And that they were flown out of S4. Can you confirm his story, for starters?
Yes, it happened before he was even there. At some point, there was occasions, but they were not meant to be flown in the air. That what you're seeing in the air is not coming from Area 51.
It isn't.
No, I mean, you know, like UFOs and all that. None of that's coming from Area 51. Those things out there are broken, and the ones that he saw sitting there probably were in various states of disrepair, in my opinion.
Really?
Yes, and they were like, you know, where you have junk. Everybody's got junk. But if you've got junk like that, you're not going to take it to a landfill. Makes sense, right?
No, you're not.
So you've got to just kind of leave it sitting
there. When you say junk, we should qualify that. Extraterrestrial junk?
What would you call extraterrestrial?
Something not of Earth origin.
Would Earth in a parallel timeline do?
You bet it would.
Would that qualify as extraterrestrial?
You're damn right.
Yeah.
In my mind, it would. In other words, it certainly is in the realm of the paranormal. So what you're telling me,
yes,
is that what's up there came not from another physical place, but another dimension parallel to ours.
Yeah, yes and no. It's both. The triangular objects were hand-me-downs that were no longer needed, and they were given to the people in the other timeline, who then turned against the people that originally gave them to them.
You're saying you were ordered to come and say all this tonight?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Why?
Because it is, yesterday was September 11th. It is September 11th on your time, isn't
it? It is still now September 11th, my time, yes.
It is the day that the Mars Surveyor enters the orbital phase of its mission.
You're exactly right. They have fired the slowing rockets,
mm-hmm.
and I understand they have done that successfully, they believe. And this craft will go into a polar orbit around Mars,
mm-hmm.
slowly mapping the entire planet.
It will be finished in March of the year 1998.
Uh-huh.
And
what do you think they'll find?
I already know what they're going to find.
Well, then that makes you a doubly valuable person. What, pray tell?
Okay. As they come down from the pole, at first they're going to be mapping an area that originally had a lot of water. So what would you see if you drained the ocean? You know, a lot of dried up areas.
Silt, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but it's all solid rock, obviously, baked by the sun and all that. When you get down to latitude about 40 degrees north of the Martian equator, you're going to see some pretty interesting things, actually.
Like what?
The Cydonia region?
Yes.
The Cydonia region has a counterpart region, and they're going to find that this time.
Really?
Yes.
Now, when you speak of Cydonia, you speak of the face on Mars and...
And the city and the rail launcher and all that.
All that stuff.
Yeah, the rail launcher is most interesting to me.
How? Rail launcher?
The rail launcher.
That's a gun.
No. The rail launcher is a shuttle-type vehicle that was abandoned, and it's sitting on this rail inside a fortress.
A fortress. This is a lot of the kind of stuff that David Oates talked about.
When he reversed
the speech of the NASA guys?
Oh, yes.
So you're saying all of that is true?
Yes, but they remember all that comes from what they were thinking subconsciously, more or less. And it could get jumbled together. I'm not very familiar with that. I just heard it in passing at the time. But I don't recall that exactly.
Why would your bosses want this information out?
Because of what's about to happen next year.
What, pray tell?
There's going to be some, how should we say, major, extreme revelations next year. And everything's got to be in place before that happens. Meanwhile, pressure is building. By pressure, I mean orders. To throw it all out on the table right now. And I'm one that don't think it's appropriate at this time.
You personally don't?
No, I mean all of it right now. I'm all for the 98 thing.
So you're sort of dribbling information out to get people prepared.
Yes, but my greatest concern is they won't be prepared enough. And I'm troubled by what's happened.
You want to lay out your cards? I mean, what's going to happen?
You mean 1998?
Yes, sir.
Well, first of all, more of the same, more dribbling, as you call it, for starters. But then, of course, you mean the main material.
Main event, yes, sir.
Ultimately.
You bet.
Well, now that would take place on, what date would that be? I got a book over here. It's got it all laid out. You don't mind me getting it here?
I don't mind a bit. You go right ahead.
Just a second.
All right. We're talking to a current Area 51 employee, he says. And there is a book that lays out what's going to occur, and he's talking about 1998.
Okay, I got it.
All right. And then in 1998, you said you've got a date. Here the page is turning.
Yep, got it. July 20th, 1998.
Oh, Richard Hoagland's going to like that. July 20th.
Richard Hoagland?
Yeah. That's an important date with Richard.
Oh, I remember now. Yes, it was. But I'm not sure that he knows about what really happened in 1986. I wonder if anyone, if he could call in and we could ask him if he knows what happened on that day in 1986. That's
well,
part of the main...
All right, but right now I want to know what's going to happen on July 20th, 1998. So does everybody.
Oh, okay, right, right on. In 1998, on that date, everything is going to be revealed about what happened on July 20th, 1986 to July 26, 1986, and how that relates to what is going on right now with the Mars material.
All right, then, if we must, let us back up. July of 1986, what occurred?
Correct.
What occurred then, please?
The culmination of the original plan, and we are currently in the 12th year of the new plan now.
What plan?
What plan?
Whose plan?
Whose plan? The Supreme Commandant.
The Supreme Commandant?
Sound familiar?
Vaguely.
Vaguely.
The Supreme Commandant.
That should be ringing some bells. No pun intended, please.
Thank you.
This is September the 11th. Okay. Anyway, the point is that, do you recall any certain caller who might have called you on the Saturday morning, August 9th, during the night where you had the so-called MIB line?
Yes, I remember the MIB line, certainly. And as a matter of fact, during the course of this very conversation we're having right now, I'm wondering why the men in black aren't moving in on you.
Oh, they can't.
Huh. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That sounds to me like the soldier in the foxhole says they'll, you know, everybody around me might die, but I'm not...
I've been in a few foxholes myself, I'll tell you.
Yeah, well, it's that kind of psychology. What do you mean they can't get to you?
Because I tell them what to do.
You're that high in the food chain.
Well, unfortunately, it is a food chain, yes.
Unfortunately
for me, I occasionally learn the hard way. Since I last talked, I did call you on that morning. I don't know if you recall or not.
Listen, these beings, are they as we are, or are they different? Do they look to be extraterrestrial in origin, even though they're...
Area 51 or in general, or both.
Well, you said they're extra-dimensional, not
yes.
Extraterrestrial. So do they appear to be extraterrestrial, or do they appear exactly as we do, in form?
Okay, this is hard to explain, but there's two levels. One level is, if you knew what to look for, yeah, you could tell a difference, easily. But if you say, oh, well, you know, so-and-so, just pass them, you'd never know.
So they could be wandering around in our streets now, ETs, and we,
Well, you know, a few more than they used to be. There's about...
How about if I call them EDs? Extra-dimensionals.
Yeah, but see, if you could grill one of them, let's say you had a best-case scenario, you had them hypnotized, sodium pentothal, reverse speech, everything. And you got everything out of them.
Yeah.
You would never find out who was giving them the orders. It's not me, by the way. Because they're getting programmed from a planet in this timeline in space.
Why are you revealing all of this now?
Because of the amount of material that's going to be revealed next year would be unintelligible unless this was here first.
Lay it out first.
Right. You know, in other words, I could talk for 10 hours, and we would have shipped at the edge of the iceberg. That's just an example. You know,
what is the purpose, then, of Area 51?
Now, it's got different...
I'm sorry, S4 or whatever you want to call it. In other words, what is the main...
Chief reason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now or in the past or both?
Yes.
All?
Yes.
Okay. In the beginning, it was simply to develop new weapons. America needed new weapons to counter the Soviet threat.
Right.
The reason, you ready? You holding on to your seat for this one? I don't think anybody knows this one.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, everybody in the Pentagon better hold on to their seat for this, and they're going to be hopping mad. The people from a planet called Lanulos.
Lanulos.
Mm-hmm. I think you heard that before, I guess. They came here after World War II, and they told the Soviets, you better look out. The Americans are coming after you. Then they come to the Americans and tell them, you better look out, the Soviets are coming after you. Then they go to the Soviets and tell them, here's the kind of missiles you're going to need. And then they go to the Americans and say, you better get ready, here they come, here are the kind of missiles you're going to need. We'll give you the advice on what to build with your own technology.
Sounds like they were promoting the idea of war.
Oh, no. They knew the outcome. You know, you can use primitive computer projections now to get some idea of some things. And they used computer projections of an advanced kind to determine the best possible outcome. And that they controlled the situation where you'd have a standoff. They needed desperately to have a Cold War standoff for 40 years. That was the plan.
Why?
To duplicate a precise same event that happened three times 19.5 centuries earlier on Atlantis.
Atlantis?
Atlantis.
Atlantis that was destroyed
by two...
because there was no intervention or what?
Oh, no, there could not be any intervention then because there was no one in space. No one had traveled. Oh, yes, this would be an appropriate time to explain something. No, there is no intelligent life that evolved anywhere in the universe except on Earth.
I've thought that myself and even wondered about this planet.
Yeah, me too, especially in the last 50 years. And in a parallel universe, ditto. In other words, for every parallel dimension, I prefer a timeline, you have only Earth evolving intelligent life.
All right, listen, I have only about a minute left, so... quickly sum up or say whatever you would like to say to everybody out there about where you work.
Area 51's main purpose is to basically build weapons, but it was taken over in 1986. It was taken over by the people from Lanulos. And when they took it over, that's when I came in there. I was put in there to supervise what was going on in the lower levels.
All right. Well, I have no way of knowing whether one word of what you have said is true, but you said it well.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. And you take care. There's our first Area 51 caller. The planet Linunos or whatever it was? What do you think? They're in charge since 86. Reagan said a bunch of stuff about that. You remember? We're going to break here at the bottom of the hour, and we'll be right back from the high desert. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. Time caller line, you're on the air. Hi. Hello.
Greetings, Mr. Bell. This is Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Yes, I would like to help you out a little bit there.
Well, thank you.
You said you didn't know why you said discharge during that phone call?
Well, I know the caller was talking about a medical discharge.
Yeah, and
but again, there was a gap there.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been instructed not to say anything else about that for the time being. But at any rate, I would like to respond to in advance to what Ed Danes is going to say tonight.
In advance of what he's going to say?
Yes. I already know what everything about it.
All right, let's hear it.
Well, I know that, in my opinion, there is much to be said about remote viewing. I know for a fact it is real. First of all, since I've established that remote viewing is real as far as I'm concerned, I would say that the most comprehensive way that it should be dealt with is by an expert. Well, I doubt that there's an expert on remote viewing better than Ed Dean.
I would agree.
But now,
wait a minute. All right, fine. You believe in remote viewing. So do I.
I'm sure of it.
Most of the scientists that I've talked with, and I mean good mainline, mainstream scientists, agree remote viewing is real. Now, you and I agree on that.
Yes.
You said you know what he's going to say. Tell us now.
Well, if I do that, it could cause a paradox.
Well, all right, then that's where the discussion ends, Steve. Because if you tell me that you know what he's going to say, and then I ask you to go ahead, this is a near-term event, Steve, one that you could have finally convinced us all with, and you pull the paradox thing on me. So, I'm not buying it, Steve. You could have really, really established some tremendous credibility there, Steve. All you had to do was drop on us a couple of the things that he was going to say. I mean, I've already given away the categories, at least some of them, that he's going to talk about. You really messed up your chance, Steve. A wild card line, you're on the air.
We'll start off with the caller who called in by the name of Steve.
Ah, yes.
Then we'll go straight to your caller.
I want to hear about Steve.
Oh, I'm sure you do. I'm sure Steve's listening to this right now. He actually issued a match. He said he wanted to come on the air with me. But he didn't shape up too well in reverse speech. So let us begin.
Well, that makes sense.
But I can tell you who you can call, man. It's actually my first name.
Yes. Oh, okay. Here we go, the first reversal. And your voice is actually overlaid on this.
All right.
You can call me by my first name. Reversal is Make It Up. Now, whether that refers to the name or his story, we'll wait and see.
Make it up.
Can you hear that with your voice?
Yeah, Make It Up.
Yeah, and then he moves right along.
They were like, you know, where you have junk. Everybody's got junk. But if you've got junk like that, you're not going to take it to landfill.
And this reversal is, I beef it up. Hear that?
I beef it up.
I beef it up. You know, I make it sound better than what it actually is. I beef it up. I'm exaggerating. I'm expanding on the story. I make it up. I beef it up.
I am not surprised.
No. I've got the three or four of them. I want to play them all just to leave people in suspense for the prime event.
All right.
This is an interesting reversal that came in right out of the blue. In one of your earlier programs, I think I mentioned that often in reverse we will hear reversals. Before something is discussed forward. And this is the unconscious mind leading the conscious. And so we'll play one of these now.
S4.
You worked at S4?
Oh, that's the area where I was living.
Oh, my.
An interesting reverse. He simply says September.
Yes, September.
And again?
Why
is that so fascinating? Because very shortly afterwards, you spent quite some time talking forwards about it now being September, and I'll run you that forward section now.
Yesterday was September 11th. It is September 11th on your time, isn't it?
It is still now September 11th, my time, yes.
That is, you said it September three times forwards.
Wow.
Immediately after, not long after, he said it's September backwards. Let me play that reverse again.
Okay.
So a classic example of the unconscious leading the conscious.
Yes.
And then here's a reversal on you. It's a very quick one. Just two words. Here is a four.
You're saying you were ordered to come and say all this tonight?
Yes.
And then you simply say, be honest.
Be honest.
Okay.
I hear that.
Yeah, be honest. And that just speaks for itself. They're going to do another reversal on you.
David, are you sure you're not just being kind to me? I have yet to hear the first incongruent reversal on me.
Honestly, Art, I really didn't find them. I really did not find incongruent reversals on you.
I'm not that good, David.
Huh?
I'm not that good.
Well, also, I need to say I didn't find many reversals on you, period. I would do long sections of you without finding them, and I would get quite frustrated. I think you're in your radio mode, you're on the air.
It's true.
And you're just not putting one out. Here's a long one on you. I hesitated about playing this one. It's a metaphor, but I want to play it anyway because both you and Steve are talking about reverse speech, and you say something complimentary to me in this reversal, and then Steve comes in and says something a little bit nasty.
This is a lot of the kind of stuff that David Oates talked about when he reversed the speech of the NASA guys.
Oh, yes.
So you're...
And the reversal says, the sign of the sheep that serve you, we know.
The sign of the sheep that serve you, we know.
And again?
The sign of the sheep that serve you, we know.
You hear that?
Oh, that's very clear, but yeah. I don't think I'm that metaphoric and deep, am I really?
Well, we all are. And you're referring to reverse speech. Reverse speech actually describes itself as being the tool of the sheep or the sign of a sheep. I've actually heard that reversal before, and the sheep referring to us, the human race.
Oh, sure.
Sorry?
Sure.
Yeah, the sign of the sheep. That is what reverse speech is. It is how we are really communicating and really thinking, and it is our way eventually when mankind begins to embrace this technology that I think we are going to come back home to ourselves. And then, so here Steve continues.
They remember all that comes from what they were thinking subconsciously, more or less. And it could get jumbled together. I'm not very familiar with that. I just heard it in passing at the time.
Talk about reverse speech. Mm-hmm. And he says backwards, the rotten schmuck and I'll remember here. And it's a future tense reversal. I'm a rotten schmuck because I'm exposing that he's not being completely kosher. And he will remember this radio interview, the rotten schmuck and I'll remember here.
I'll remember it. Yes.
Hear that?
Yes.
I'll remember it. Yes.
I'm going to do it once more.
I'll remember it. Yes.
Okay. And Steve was on the phone for an awfully long time, so we did get a lot of reversals on him. We just want to do... Well, actually, I'd like to do the remaining of them. They're really quite funny. Here is one. He's saying he tells the men in black what to do. Here it is.
Tell you.
Yeah, well, it's that kind of psychology. What do you mean they can't get to you?
Because I tell them what to do.
I tell them what to do, but backwards he says, they stole my life.
Stole my life. Stole my life.
Oh, stole my life.
Stole my life.
Stole my life.
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting. And I actually think in his second interview, he gave something away. I actually think he does have some knowledge of something, but to use his, or he did in the past or something, but to use his own words, he beefs it up. This next one would cause some people to think, too.
Atlantis.
Atlantis.
Atlantis that was destroyed... because there was no intervention or what?
Oh, no, there could not be any intervention then.
And then he says, find the script.
Undescript. Undescript. Undescript.
And he's actually, I think he's reading or leading or feeding information to us that's been given to him.
Script?
Yeah, exactly right. They stole my life from the men in black and find the script. I'm beefing it up.
Huh.
Strange. And then this is the last reversal of him just as he signs off. And I had laughed so silly when I found this.
Well,
one.
I have no way of knowing whether one word of what you have said is true, but you said it well.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, he says, well, thank you very much. Backwards, he says, I'm arrogant.
I'm arrogant. I'm arrogant.
Oh, boy, is that clear.
I'm sorry, Steve, if you think I'm a rotten schmuck, but you will remember this interview. To use your own words.
Take that, Steve.
Okay.
He's arrogant, all right.
Yeah. The final script is interesting, and the men in black stole my life. He doesn't deny having contact with them, whoever the men in black are. And I don't know much about men in black, but I hesitated saying this, but I'm going to. Conference we had with Richard Hoagland on Thursday night a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, you know there was a man in black there.
He was dressed completely in black. He was extremely, it's the most bizarre encounter I've ever had in my life. This is one more on Steve in the second day that he called in. And this is probably his one redeeming reversal in all of the other ones that he had.
Just inside the Russian border, there were American troops involved. Soviets would not let the Americans come in, even and get the troops out. And Kennedy knew about this, and he was about to tell everyone about it.
And then he says in reverse, I pierce the big enemy.
I pierce the big enemy.
I pierced the big enemy. Okay?
Yes.
And that's basically it.
All right.
The clear reversals I found on the Area 51 reversals. So, I've got several more on Sermon, all the Simpson stuff.
If I ever leave a penny, I think that I will have terrible financial trouble. So I don't do it. I always pick up pennies. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bell. It's an honor to speak to you, and welcome back from your trip from Egypt. This is Steve.
Hi, Steve.
from the Area 51 line and the MIB line and all that.
Oh, that's
Steve.
I've
got a new phone.
Yes.
I've got a new phone. How do you like it? A lot better than the old one?
Oh, Steve, it is superb.
Thank you. I've been ordered to return tonight and actually defend David John Oates.
Really?
Yeah, the earlier caller. And actually, I do agree. I would like to defend David Oates, but first I think I need to apologize for what I said in reverse about him being a rotten schmuck. So sorry, David.
That's all right. People can't control what they say in reverse.
I know that. But you and I were talking about the NASA PR men, and I was thinking about them.
Yeah.
So I think I was talking about them.
Well, that could be.
And you know where there was the other reversal where I said I beef it up?
Yeah.
That was the security at Area 51 I was thinking about.
Oh.
And where I said I make it up at the beginning, I was talking about my name. I was going to use Richard Charles Hoagland's first two names and call myself Ricardo Carlos.
Yes.
But I couldn't get the Spanish accent right. So
I see.
And stole my life reversal. You know, the men in black?
Yes.
I was thinking about the women in black. See, I tell the men in black what to do, but the women in black tell me what to do, and I was thinking about that. That's what I meant by stole my life.
Hmm.
I bet you're interested in find the script.
Vaguely.
Mm-hmm. Find the script, the reversal. It was on the other side of the room, and I didn't have it with me. And he had one reversal, David did. It said, I'm arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
But I was actually thinking in my mind, it was near the end of the call, I was thinking, I'm going to have to be on the air again.
Mm.
And that's why that happened like that. And he said on another reversal that I pierced a big enemy.
Mm-hmm.
But that was actually me saying, I fear it's the big enemy.
Mm.
And I also can tell you why you were knocked off the air that night.
Why?
You were knocked off the air by the Supreme Commandant.
Of what?
Of the Pleiadian Alliance. She told me all about it and showed me a 3D image of the caller called David from Philadelphia who should have sent you a package by now. And
not that I know of.
And, well, he will. And he believes it's a hoax now, but he doesn't realize that he has been forced to believe that he hoaxed the call. But the call was timed. His call, he was forced to time his call to when she blacked out the satellite so that it would create more credibility.
So it was definitely a she who did it.
Yes, yes. And she wanted me to tell you about Ed Dames and his explanation for the lights over Phoenix.
Yes.
Since Ed Dames has been in the government, since the time he's left, the government's got new and more advanced remote viewers. And they're so advanced that the government dispatched them out to Phoenix on the day they knew it, Ed Dames and Associates would be remote viewing to find out what the lights were.
Yeah.
And these new government advanced remote viewers were able to project images of industrial infrared lasers intersecting each other into the minds of Ed Dames and his associates to cause him and to break the belief barrier and cause him to believe that that's what caused the lie.
So you're telling me that Ed Dames was remotely influenced.
He was remotely programmed, and
ooh,
I've got all the documents here. I can explain who did it and how, and I can even tell you something about Bill Clinton visiting South America and how he visited those military families down there. You know.
All right, well, we'll have to hold it there. We're at the top of the hour. Thanks for all of that info, and we'll have to check with Ed and see what he thinks. We'll be right back. Stay right where you are.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from October 21st, 1997.
Area 51, you used to work there or something?
Yes.
And you commented that this is the only thing I really remember, other than his voice, that he was pretty much saying and corroborating something that Colonel Corso
That's right.
said. Do you remember that guy?
Yes, I do.
Well, I just wanted to say that his voice sounded to me almost exactly like the guy who got you knocked off the air. Like the quality of his voice.
Hmm.
I just thought that might be kind of important if anybody else thought that. and if you wanted to reverse that to see what was up with that.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. There are a lot of people who have thought they've heard that voice. Those high tonal qualities are pretty distinctive. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with David Oates. Hi.
Hello. This is your man in black, Area 51 time traveler by the name of Steve. I'm back. How y'all doing?
Steve.
Oh, yeah. The last guy was talking about me, but I can assure you I don't know Brian of Philadelphia. We have never met, but I know a lot more about that.
Hi, Steve. I've listened to you both forwards and backwards.
Yes, I have something to say to you very important Mr. Oates. I don't hold anything against you for anything that you've ever reversed. I wanted you to know that, first of all.
Okay, thank you.
And if those men in black are giving you any trouble, well, after December 31st, it won't be my fault anymore.
And why is that?
Because as of January 1st, I will no longer be a mission commander for the men in black. From that day forward, I will be the permanent lifetime spokesperson on Earth for the Supreme Commandant, which is one of the reasons, Art, that I thought you might want to have me on as a guest sometime in January.
Well, I might. I mean, it depends on, you know, what the Commandant, of course, wants to say through you, so we'll look forward to that sometime in January. David, hold on one moment. We'll be right back. Are you overweight? Would you like to lose an average 8 to 10 pounds in the next month? We know that fiber helps sweep fat out of the digestive tract.
Actually, Time Traveler Line, you are on the air. Hello.
Greetings, Art Bell.
Yes, sir. You are a time traveler.
Yes, I am. This is a ex-man in black, but not quite yet ex-time traveler, Steve.
Oh, a lot of people.
Months ago, yes.
A lot of people have been waiting for a return call from you, Steve.
I've been very busy with a trilateralist, especially here lately.
So you two are suggesting that there is definitely a sort of one-world, police-controlled type future for us.
Unfortunately, there's a good news and some bad news in that respect.
Yes?
The good news is that ultimately, all's well that ends well. Unfortunately for everyone that wants to prevent it, it actually began with the Congress of Vienna in the year 1814 and 1815.
Well, that's a long time ago, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
What about the future? I mean, we can look into the past from mm-hmm. our year of 98.
Mm-hmm.
What we need you for is to tell us what's coming.
Oh, well, in what respect would you be interested in anything at all? Anything. No question unanswered.
All right. All right. For starters, describe what our future is to be in the year you have come from.
Well, I go in a what I'd like to call a trans-connected loop so I can get back, of course, to the timeline dimension I left originally. That's important. And through that, I can get as far only as I can travel only as far into the future as I will exist in my next lifetime, or the one after that. If I don't exist in this dimension in the next lifetime, I can't go in that far.
In other words, okay, I think I understand.
Yes.
You can only travel
in my lifetime.
In your lifetime or your next lifetime if it should be in this dimension.
And so far that takes us up to 2286.
2286. Well, that
right.
will do.
80.
That'll do.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell us about 1998, specifically July forward?
From July of 1998 to 80 forward.
Yeah.
The most important thing is to realize the unusual media control of political issues. Apparently, all you seem to need is a media perspective, and everyone seems to say, well, this must be the way it is. But you must realize what will change most in the future, starting in 1999, for example, is that as more time goes on, it will be clear that the media is creating the false sense that Bill Clinton, for example, or the United States is in control of the world, when in fact they never have been. And it will ultimately be revealed that, in fact, the British Empire never even ended in the first place. And it still continues in this day.
Hmm.
with London, of course, being the center where the Illuminati is actually located today.
The Illuminati.
Mm-hmm. Established in 1776.
And the Illuminati controls everything?
No. The Illuminati are like what you would think of as in-between, go-betweens, between the Pleiadians and the Freemasons. The Freemasons are located in London, actually. Their main headquarters, our world headquarters. And then that would make the United States, from 1815 onward, like a province of Great Britain, for all practical purposes. And everyone knows this that's elected president. And there will be documents released in the 21st century to even prove this. That's one of the things they've got classified above top secret now.
There is something that I wish to ask you about.
Anything at all, anything.
Fine. As you all know, our President Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas.
Unfortunately.
And many of the files that relate to that assassination have been sealed for 50 years.
Some 70.
Some 70. We would like to know what it is we don't know about that assassination that will be revealed when these files are opened.
Well, I can tell you everything, but I will also tell you that there are some aspects that will never be revealed because the people sealing them did not understand the whole thing. But there is a dual aspect to the Kennedy assassination, and it's also tied in with the Robert Kennedy assassination in one respect, and that is that the CIA did not do it,
mm-hmm.
and neither did any other government agency. It was done by a coalition of British intelligence and national security agents that were not part of the main group, that had decided that if they had not killed Kennedy by the end of 1963 or by the beginning of 1964, they knew that he would be responsible for accidentally causing a nuclear war in his next term.
Really?
Yes. And the proof was that Robert McNamara, he delivered the proof that unintentionally killed Kennedy. Because one day in 1963, Robert McNamara turned up in the Oval Office. He was literally burned and claimed, Robert McNamara did, walked in one day in 63 and claimed it. He had just got there from 1971. And there was then two McNamaras. And this 1971 McNamara claimed that it was a nuclear war, and he had been sent back by the, I don't know, Pleiadians or somebody to try to stop it. And then this is when, of course, the Pleiadians, Illuminati in 1963 said, well, we believe you, we'll take this serious. And at first they thought, well, it's an alternate, it won't happen. But ultimately they realized that everything he said was true. And that's why Kennedy had to be killed. And it's very unfortunate. That's why they even arranged to have the killer to be elusive. In fact, it was not even Oswald. Oswald is, as a matter of fact, still alive and living in Australia today. The actual killer of Kennedy was Marilyn Monroe, who had
Marilyn Monroe.
Yes, she was the gunner on the grassy knoll, and her death was faked in 1962, and in order to train her to be an assassin.
You're beginning to push the limits of my credibility meter here.
Oh, you're using the truster thing?
No. No, I'm not. My personal truster meter.
Inside my gut.
I mean, come on. Marilyn Monroe's death was faked and she killed Kennedy?
That's what the files will show when they're released.
In what? A rage over being...
If you listen to what I say closest, she would had to have had her death faked in 1962 to be the assassin. At the train, and of course, his number was not up till 63. So, when they asked for volunteers, she volunteered, but she was already an assassin. It had nothing to do with him personally.
Marilyn Monroe was an assassin?
Yes. And she worked with a mob in 1962-63, and it was only later she volunteered for that assignment. But she's
holy
also still alive.
Mackerel.
A little complicated.
What about our space program, Steve?
Oh, are you in for a huge surprise?
Oh, surprise me.
Well, you may have heard that the Freemasons, or you may not have heard, that the ones in Britain chose all the lunar landing sites. Would you care to guess why they chose these sites? It's a little obvious, but not very much so.
No, I don't think I want to guess. Tell me.
They knew where the ruins were at on the moon, Egyptian ruins, and so they plotted the landings to be clear of all the lunar ruins. And when Neil Armstrong got done with his one small step for man thing,
yes,
you know where Aldrin was adjusting the camera and they hadn't had it online yet, the one they were adjusting?
Yes.
Armstrong went to a nearby knoll, like a hill, that was he had ordered to go to the nearest highest hill in the area immediately after arranging the stars and the stripes. And he proceeded to this nearby hill, and he unzipped his a little package he had with him, and he pulled out the British Union Jack flag and erected it on the highest hill in the area at Tranquility Base. And it is, in fact, still there to this day.
You're kidding.
I'm sorry. No, I'm not.
No, you're not.
It's a very unusual fact, but all the astronauts were of Anglo-Saxon descent, except on the last trip, one of the astronauts, you'll recall, was a scientist by the name of Schmidt, of German descent. And they'd warned NASA if they put anyone up there who was not of Anglo-Saxon descent, they would stop the space program. They gave them a warning, but they didn't listen. And if anyone out there is wondering why they were UFOs that were sighted along with the Apollo missions, it was because that the Pleiadians were trying to protect the astronauts coming and going from the moon from other extraterrestrials, if you want to, or extra-dimensionals that would have been hostile, including the ones that nuked an alternate Earth that McNamara was lucky enough to escape from.
Barely, apparently.
Hmm. Unusual, but all provable within your lifetime.
All right. We are now having a great deal of discussion about the Y2K problem.
Yes, that's a very serious situation.
So it is real.
Oh, it's real, all right.
What happens January 1st, 2000?
Well, some people are that take it seriously will personally, you know, they can personally get ready for it. But for those corporations that believe, you know, it's hype. It's all, remember that guy claimed it was all hype? Well, remember that guy from the future said it was all hype?
Yes.
He did say that he lived in a controlled society where they controlled everything they learned.
That's correct.
So if he was living after some kind of major situation with the Y2K thing, they might not want to admit that they were weak enough to have that happen to him. So say it could have been serious, but he wouldn't have known it. Actually, what's going to happen is that a lot of computer systems will shut down. And what is most interesting is that the government has what I call Roswell technology, and they're, in fact, are going to try to bring on a backup system that they're working on now, some kind of super computer at Area 51 out there. They're shaking their head no, but I'm telling you anyway. And they're apparently going to try to over affect the lines to where they can tap into the web and protect it and their information structure, for example.
But Steve, we are at the bottom of the hour. Do you want to hold on?
Absolutely. I have no reason not to.
All right, Steve. Stay right there. A time traveler named Steve. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Talk with Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. From east of the Rockies, dial 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may call Art on the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. to reach Art from outside the U.S., first dial your access number to the USA, then 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye with Art Bell.
That's exactly what it is. Top of the morning to you, everybody. It's great to be here. My, 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 what a night we're having, huh? I've got a time traveler on the line. At least that's what he says he is. His name is Steve. And we have had him call before, and I'm going to let a couple of you, I think, speak with Steve and ask questions. Let's try that. Steve, are you still there?
I am present.
All right, good. Let's take a couple of calls and see what people say. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Steve, the time traveler. Hello there. Going once, going twice, gone. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Steve. No, you're not. Now you are. Hello there. Hello? Maybe I see what I'm doing. Hello there.
Hello?
Hi. You're on the air with Steve.
Yes.
Do you have any questions for him?
I wanted to ask about...
Yes?
Well...
Oh, you have your radio on, don't you?
Well, no, I have it down. It's just that I didn't understand what he was saying about his... time travel.
What aspect? What do you mean?
I'm talking about the Area 51 thing.
That has, Area 51, I don't think he's even mentioned it.
I thought that he did it, like, in the first part of his conversation he did.
Steve?
Yeah,
that's where the supercomputer is going to rescue everything if everything goes very bad at Y2K. But, there was an original time strip out there, but it was illegally... constructed. It was the RPM, Roswell Proton Module,
mm-hmm.
but that was left there in 1947. It was not meant to be discovered to the 23rd century, and because it was a danger and it needed to be protected and kept until the time it was meant to be used, there's been a lot of played-in activity at that base, and what better place to locate the played-in technology needed to send somebody like me into the future to keep checking up on things being done today. Every little thing you do today makes the future a little different, and it causes variations. And when you have a plan, or in this case a new plan, and you want the future to turn out a certain way, then you have to keep changing little things. And then when you change things unintentionally, you want to go up and check and then come back and redo it if that turns out in a way that you don't want.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Steve, the time traveler.
Hello?
Hello.
Art Bell.
Yes.
Great. I listened to a guy you had on there about Area 51 some time ago.
Yes. I've got a guest now. Are you calling to ask him a question?
He claims he's from the future.
Yes, oh yes.
Oh, actually, I'm from the present, but I traveled through past, present, future, from Atlantis to the end of the Earth, actually.
And what part of the future are you from? What time?
I'm from an alternate version of 1986, and I've lived here in this timeline from what you would think of as January 1986.
Has NASA gone any further than what it has now?
In the future?
Yeah.
Of course. But it's a program. The reason they're holding back is because there's a limit. There's a plan that they're going on. They have this plan to where everything is repeating itself on, I think the precise number is 1,962-year cycles times three, and you get Atlantis. And they're trying to not have a space program that goes faster and accomplishes more in a given amount of time than was accomplished the first time in a given amount of time. So NASA is, unbeknownst to anyone at NASA, they're being controlled in such a way that where they go and the timing of it has to fall into that category. So in the future, NASA, of course, will eventually, in a coalition with the European Space Agency, actually land on the planet Mars once. And then later on, there'll be a European colonization of Mars, but that won't begin until after World War III.
How's that, caller?
That's fine.
All right. Thank you very much. All right, here's a piece of email for you, Steve.
Okay.
Art, I'm sorry, but Steve is hard to believe. Call me a skeptic, if you will. I consider myself not to be one, really, but nevertheless, I would like to hear a prediction within the near future that would prove to be true. So, give us something near term.
How near term?
Well, I don't know. I'm just repeating.
Oh.
You know.
Let's see.
You can pick it.
Okay, let me see. If I had called last week, I could have told you that Clinton would testify, but we're too close to that now.
We certainly are. He's already said that he would, so that wouldn't be good.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what you could tell us.
Okay.
How it turns out.
It turns out that it doesn't really damage the presidency in any way whatsoever, and it does continue on.
Uh-huh. All right. Very good. Let's keep moving along.
Right.
On my international line, you're on the air with Steve. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Vlad calling from Vancouver, British Columbia.
Yes, sir.
And with Steve, you keep using words like maybe and supposedly what might happen in Y2K.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've seen the future, I would like to know if you could tell us more exactly what would happen, not what might or what could.
Well, that depends on what timeline you're in. And the timeline we want to happen. The Y2K problem is a serious thing, and it causes all the computers to shut down, of course, except for conveniently the ones controlled by British telecom and stuff like that. But that's what we're working on. I even got a program myself that if worse comes to worse and everything went down, the first thing you'd see when it came back up on the screens all over the world would be the Union Jack, but they kind of rejected that. They thought it might be a dead giveaway to who was behind it. So.
What about in our timeline,
yeah.
North America, this timeline, this dimension, Y2K, January 1st,
mm-hmm.
what will happen to, say, all the banks in America?
To the banks?
Or any bank in America.
Oh, most banks will be ready, but for the ones that aren't, there'll be a temporary shutdown. And the temporary shutdown could last as much as like about 6 hours or 3 days. That's not the problem. Your problem
it could
is,
last, but what do you know of anything that did happen?
That will happen at Y2K in this timeline?
Correct.
Credit cards. Get rid of them before the end of 1999. That's my advice to everybody on Y2K. I don't care what country you're in.
All right, caller.
Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. And Steve, I think we're going to end it here. But it
very
has
well. Thank you.
Been a productive session. Thank
very
you.
Much.
And back to the future.
Okay.
All right. So we'll leave the timeline open. The timeline is area code 702-727-1295. Got a special line open for government agents only. And everybody else, stay off that line. Government agents, Area 51 people, that kind of stuff, only. Area code 775-727-1222. And everybody else, abandon that line and use the other numbers. Okay. Every time we open one of these lines, Steve gets through. Steve has made it through. Hello, Steve. Steve, where are you? Steve. Oh, I see what's happened. Let's see. Let's try it. Maybe I lost him. Are you there, Steve?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I've got you. Sorry.
Okay, I was thinking, uh-oh.
Well, what kind of government agent are you, Steve? I mean, I've wondered about you since you've been calling the program, frankly.
This is my first call since January.
Yeah.
And it is my 16th call since July 1997.
All right. You're obviously keeping a careful log or something.
Oh, yeah. I keep a close log on everything that comes over the Art Bell Show, especially your open lines like that secret society line. And
nice.
I noticed that none of the dragons called that night.
No. But you know,
I know why they didn't call.
Because they'd have been killed.
I told them not to.
You told them not to.
That's right. So
See, I was the ex-controller of the classic Illuminati.
Now, the dragons are like the highest of the high.
That's right.
So, if you told them not to, then you must be higher than the highest of the high, truly ruling the entire everything.
I'm only a liaison between those secret societies and the Pleiadian Supreme Commandant. That is why I am her messenger on Earth in the coming time of the revealing.
Well, and you're nothing but an intergalactic mouthpiece.
Yes, but I'm from Earth.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there you go.
So, you have some revelations for us, Steve,
oh, yes.
About the New World Order, right?
Yes.
And what lies ahead for all of us.
That is correct.
What are they?
Well, I'll begin with the simple stuff and work to the big stuff. How's that?
That's fine.
Okay. Well, as if this may not sound little, but to me it is. As some people are aware and others are not, there was a, how should I put it, a secret landing at Edwards Air Force Base with Churchill, Eisenhower, and friends back on February the 20th, 1954.
Well, I know about the supposed
mm-hmm.
landing, but I don't know about the president and all that.
Oh, yeah. Churchill was there and everything. And the point is, that is verified in the future in such a way that in a few centuries to come, they will look back on that day, and they'll say 1954 will be the year one of contact.
What about Roswell?
Roswell is verified, too, but it is not important as much so as 1954, which becomes the year one on a future calendar. Now, the controversy begins when people in the future, upon reading a book that I will not write for two or three more years, come to be convinced that 1986 should be the year one of the new age.
Why?
Because the Supreme Commandant achieved a recreation of time at that point and prevented what would have been the big crunch from happening and literally recreated the universe.
Saying he saved our butts.
Then the entire universe through Pleiadian technology, of course. And this is such a big deal that it causes me to say, well, 1986 should be the year one, literally. And then the people in the future who don't believe that believe that the year of contact one, 1954, should be the year one, they get in a war with each other eventually. And the
figures.
People,
that figures.
Yeah, but I'm trying to ameliorate that by traveling backwards and forward in time and trying to check up on every little thing that moves the future now and changes it slightly.
Why should we believe you? I mean, you're saying you're a time traveler.
Yes,
saying you're in the interface between the Pleiadians and Earth.
And the secret societies.
And the secret societies, the dragons even.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's quite a boast, Steve.
It is, but everything that I will say will always turn out to be true within the not-too-distant future.
All right, give me a couple mm-hmm. real good, hard, close-in items that are going to happen so we can test you.
All right. Well, first of all, Al Gore will probably be assassinated if he is elected president. But then again, so either will he or will George Bush, because there is an assassination cycle that is about to commence. And that may, if it is not controlled properly, result in the dissolution of the United States by 2007 at the latest. And it will be replaced by
The New World Order.
By the North American Union, which will be administered from Britain, of course. And everything will be just fine until the revolution begins.
I'm not going for the Queen thing.
Oh, no, it has nothing
to
do with it.
And most Americans aren't. They would really object to being ruled by Great Britain again. I mean,
I know. We
had a big war about that already.
Oh, I know. But this is different. This is like the secret empire. And it has been in existence only since 1871. The Franco-Prussian War was one example of a ruse to fool everyone. The United States Civil War, for example, was actually triggered by Great Britain in order to weaken the internal structure of the U.S. enough to where they could filter their way in through the secret societies and take over the new United States that took place after the Civil War.
So really, then, you're saying
assassinated Lincoln.
Since way back then,
1871,
they've actually been running things anyway.
Behind the scenes.
Even though we had this war and everything, and
we thought we were
independent.
But the point is that even Winston Churchill got in on it. But he took over behind the scenes and declared himself the modern Augustus Caesar. But then Elizabeth was a appointed by the Pleiadians and recognized as the rightful leader.
All right, but Stephen, we digress.
For a short while. Now Charles is the secret emperor.
Yes, I understand. Charles?
Is the secret emperor since 1994.
All right, we're digressing a little bit.
I
wanted some hard information.
Yes.
You gave me one thing. Give me something else that's going to happen.
Okay. This is a sure thing.
Okay.
Within 6 months to a year from, I'll say during 2001, and it will be before the end of that year.
Yes.
There will be certain documents that will be released that will verify several of the things that I have already revealed in past shows.
Like what?
Well, for example, they will reveal certain, how should I put it, interconnectedness between international banks. That are actually
controlled.
We know
they're interconnected.
Yeah, but they're interconnected at a level that is unseen. In other words, everyone...
You mean something bigger than the Federal Reserve systems?
Yeah. It is called the City of London Enregistrement Bank. And it is off the record. No one knows of its existence.
Hmm.
And I'm not even supposed to tell about it, but I can because the Supreme Commandant has told me to reveal these things.
All right, Stephen. Well, listen, I appreciate the update. So it sounds like the British are still, have been, always have been, and still are running things. I don't think I buy that, Steve. We're very rebellious here. At least we were. We'd never let the British run things. The British are okay, but have you ever heard their radio, for example? Do you know what they have on the radio over there? Gardening shows. It's like... The most exciting thing that you can hear in Britain, if you're a Brit, is a show about gardening. My God, they take those shows seriously. Now, how could a country like this take over the U.S.? Come on. Or have some secret control over us? I'm more worried about their begonias. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Art. My name's...
All right. Here's the other thing that I'm going to just cover and cover and cover. I am so fascinated with it. I have no idea how to proceed with this subject, but I'm getting zillions of emails. The premise is a simple one, very simple, raised by a caller the other night, just the other, when was it? Two nights ago. And it involves time travel. You know me and time travel. But in a very different kind of way. The caller suggested that historical manipulation, not that done by our present politicians, but real historical manipulation may be occurring right now. In other words, there may be travelers far in advance of us going back in history for whatever their reasons might be and changing it. You know, sometimes just one small, little, tiny change that was made in the past could have momentous repercussions for the future. It would have to be just the right change, of course. But they're saying, well, I don't know, I've got so many to read. Hi, Art. I was listening the other night when a caller said that they remembered when Nelson Mandela died in prison. Goosebumps all over my body because I recall this happening in the late 60s or early 70s. I suffer from deja vu a lot. Deja vu. I remember President Reagan passing away about 4 years ago. He wasn't allowed to lie at state in our nation's capital, but I can't remember why. He was cremated. His ashes were spread on a ranch that he had once owned and loved. So I was pretty surprised when he celebrated his 90th birthday recently. You see, this kind of thing, people who say, you know, the big argument about whether or not we really went to the moon, that was manipulation. And that's why so many people are fighting about it, because we're having vague memories of a different timeline. All of us, or some of us. It's an intriguing theory when you consider it, that history as we now know it may be in just like that changed.
And all our memories are suddenly different. But somehow, some people are retaining memories of what they say was. Certainly, it's a, I would say it's a high likelihood, wouldn't you, that at some point in the future, somebody is going to invent time travel. Even our current best theoretical physicists, though they say it would take a lot of power, they agree that it may indeed be possible. And if it is, and if manipulation of the past is possible, well then, the current reality, or what we consider to be current reality, may not be current reality at all. It may be the modified reality. And when it was modified, when something in the past changed, you would have a whole new set of memories, and you would never know you lost the old ones. Unless the old ones just leaked through a little bit enough so that I'm starting to get all of these emails. Something to think about, and we're going to talk about this. I'm going to figure it out somehow or another. In America.